بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We're going to talk about منزلة الاعتصام بالله. The station of الاعتصام, which is adherence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To adhere, to اعتصام, to hold on tight, to hold on tight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the اعتصام. This is a level that comes after the tafakkur and tadabbur and reflection. After you have passed these stations, you come to a station now, the reflection and the fikra comes to hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the journey, you find that al-i'tisam is the most important matter. Our scholars, they wrote i'tisam from the time of Bukhari. And before, Bukhari, when he collected his book, he made a chapter, it's called Al-I'tisam. Al-I'tisam meaning adhering. And in it, he collected all the ahadith that you should follow, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why our predecessors, when they talk about i'tisam in the early books, that mean adhering to the Quran and sunnah, adhering to the Quran and the sunnah, and adhering to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and refraining from deviation and innovation in the deen. Here, i'tisam also can mean to unite. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Here, it means to unite upon حَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Scholars differed what حَبْلِ اللَّهِ, Quran and sunnah. So this is what it means, al-i'tisam. Here, he mentions an ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. You see, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. This is a dalil for this manzila. هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. He is your mawla. He is the one who will look after you. He is your protector. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى. He is the best ally, protector, and he is النصير, which is the one who gives you victory at the time of conflict. He said, فَأَمَّا الْاِعْتِصَامُ بِحَبْلِهِ, as to hold on to his rope, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْصِمُ مِنَ الضَّلَالَةِ. It will prevent you from misguidance when you refer always to the Quran and the Sunnah. And I repeat, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, saying this general term, I am upon the Quran and Sunnah, it's too general at the moment. It always been at the general. Who interprets the Quran and Sunnah then? Yani, when we say we are upon Quran and Sunnah, and then you put on advertising that we teach fiqh upon the Quran and Sunnah, what does it mean? Hold on to the Quran and Sunnah. Holding on to the Quran and Sunnah, or I'm teaching fiqh to the Quran and Sunnah, if you exclude the fuqaha al-arba'ah, ulama al-ummah, the four fuqaha, and you just come out with a new fiqh, that is not meaning the i'tisam bil-Quran wa sunnah, nor fiqh according to the Quran and Sunnah. If you adhere to al-madhahib al-fiqhiyya, because those madhahib, you know what madhahib fiqhiyya means? The four different schools of thought. And now a new group of brothers, they just come up. We are ظاهري, فقهنا ظاهري. Come and do sharh for me, kitab usul al-fiqh of Ibn Hazm, تفضل. Or you read a few chapters from al-Muhalla and then you translate them in English and think you are a ظاهري. Come and read usul al-fiqh of Ibn Hazm and explain to us the book and show us that you know. Then I will testify for you to be a ظاهري. And Ibn Rajab haka al-ijma'. Ibn Rajab narrated the ijma', the four schools of thought. The four schools of thought. Not as this young shabab coming up with the I'm a ظاهري. Araft? Taba'an al-ظاهريya is a school, but a school that there is not adhered to. The ulama who used the muhalla li Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, they use it to derive opinions or to find the dalil for some opinions, because his book is a treasure of sunan that he collected, because he does not use logic to deduce qiyas. So that is why the resort of muhalla, because there's so much sunnah in it, and fiqh in it. The ulama use it to derive. But it not necessarily it is a book that constitutes a school of fiqh to be followed and then to take precedence amongst the Muslim community or to become the dominant opinion. No, it has never been al-muhalla or al-zahiriya, a dominant opinion. Arafna? So, when somebody adheres to one of the schools of fiqh, the four, al-ahnaf, al-shafi'iyya, al-malikiyya, al-hanabila, if one of these four schools, then you are adhering to the Quran and Sunnah. And the mistakes this madhahib have, it is not a considerable mistake that you should be worried about. Some masail could be extreme in their distance from the sunnah, but these are to the big ulama to debate. Apart from that, a person who hasn't reached that level should not say, wallahi, I follow the Quran and sunnah only, and then what? Yani you read the Quran and you explain, my brother? And you read the sunnah and you explain, my brother? No. So, al-i'tisam bil-Qur'ani wa sunnah, al-i'tisam bil-Qur'an wa sunnah is to adhere to the Qur'an and sunnah according to the interpretation of the great scholars of Islam and the predecessors of Islam. And that chain has settled into four a'imma. We don't say, if you have the tools and the means, you blind follow. Once you have the tools and the means, which is with all due respect to all the beautiful brothers in front of me, including myself, I don't see anyone has the tools and the means. And some of you have been seeking knowledge for the last 10 years, and even more. The means to say, I can, you know, now I can, I'm good enough to derive ahkam. Sah. This is absurd. That's why, if you read just the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, وَقَالَ الشَّافِعِي such, وَقَالَ الْحَمْبَلْ كَذَا وَقَالَ عَرَفْت. Even if you reach the level of researcher in Islamic fiqh, what do? You get the opinion of Abu Hanifa and opinion of Shafi'i, رحمهم الله تعالى. If you're a researcher, a big researcher, then you take the opinion of Shafi'i and you say, and it seems that the opinion of Shafi'i is according to the proofs, more than Abu Hanifa in this matter, ورحم الله الجميع, and you put a full stop. You didn't say, you believe that, but you don't say, I believe, you say, and it seems the Shafi'i. So you look for an alim who's great alim, and you put his name that he's the one, seems to be more, if you're doing comparative fiqh. And we're talking if you're doing PhD. Then this is how you talk. The matter has reached, يعني الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي لا يحمد على مكروه سواه. الحمد لله. الاعتصام إخواني, الاعتصام إذن فهو يعصم من الهلكة. He said, is the one that prevents you from destruction. Which is to follow what? حبل الله سبحانه وتعالى. القرآن والسنة, and you follow the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهمنا now what it means to follow the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا هو الاعتصام. He said, فالاعتصام بحبل الله, listen to these two principles, يوجب له الهداية واتباع الدليل. He said, يوجب له الهداية واتباع الدليل. It will obligate, it will give you the guidance and following the dalil, the proofs. والاعتصام بالله, so والاعتصام يوجب له القوة والعدة والسلاح. It gives you the قوة, the power, العدة, the tools, and السلاح, the weapons. So what does it mean? It protects you, it shields you from all the haram that goes your way. It becomes a protection for you, protect your heart and protect your body from all the haram that comes your way. والمادة, خلاص, we're not going to go there. He said, فقال ابن عباس, تمسكوا بدين الله. It means, hold on to the religion of Allah. So when someone holds on to the religion of Allah all his life, he is the one who is successful. He said, and Ibn Mas'ud said, شوفها, they all give different meaning, but it's all the same. هو الجماعة. حبل الله is the جماعة. What is the جماعة? The confederation or the جماعة, meaning the people who follow the sunnah, to adhere to them. A جماعة as a word has many meanings. Sometimes it can mean the Muslim community. Sometimes can mean the ummah in general, inclusive of deviant sect. Not the extreme deviant sect, يعني, generally. Also can mean, the jama'ah can mean the truth and the haqq. So, Ibn Mas'ud, some narration says, as long as you are up on the truth, even if you are by yourself. And sometimes he said the jama'ah, the collective of the Muslims. And sometimes it has a political meaning. What it means, political meaning? Political meaning, it means when there is a leader and his followers. A leader and his followers. And this leader has not leader, yani he can't even change drainage in his own home without a permission from the council. No. A leader, yani a brother, just makes himself an I am Amir and everyone must listen to me in a place that he doesn't have any power. No, that's not Imara. And I advise all the brothers working in a da'wah who established Lirushura, please don't use Mustalah Amir. Oh Allah, I am Amir of the Shura of Habibi, not Amir. Please. Why? Because this term gets to your head and you think you're something. You're a manager, you're a director. Sah Amir is Mustalah Shara'i. But that might mean it's an Islamic terminology. But what happens? It gets to the head of the brother. Al Imara requires a power to enforce your orders. You don't have power to enforce your orders. You don't even have power over your wife and children, Habibi. You don't even have power over your own car. You see the problem, and it gets to his head. I am the Amir. Everyone got to listen to me. You're a manager. You're a director. You're whatever. Your power is according to what the constitution of these brothers give you. And there is an overarching power that is over you anyway, whether you like it or not. So to use that term Amir, you have to be conscious of the meaning of it. Here, the political meaning of Jama'ah, when there is an Amir and there is who is able to enforce his orders, who has the power, meaning he has the police under him, he has the enforcement agencies working for him. If he orders, the order happens. Sah? That is the political meaning of Jama'ah. Otherwise, if you're going to take that meaning and apply it in a place where you don't have that power, it becomes a cult. It becomes cult or partisan, Hizbiyah. He said, وَقَالَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ حَبْلَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِهِ. He said, Ibn Mas'ud, go and adhere to the Jama'ah because it is the rope of Allah that he sent. Meaning, يعني, Jama'at al-Muslimin. Wherever you are, the masjid, that's Jama'at al-Muslimin. You don't pray by yourself, you don't isolate yourself, you don't say, no, you always stay with Jama'at al-Muslimin, even if you disagree with them. Yani you disagree with, for example, a certain mosque. Not big disagreement. They got a view and you got a different view on some things. But you adhere to the sunnah and they adhere to the sunnah, but you have different views. You say, you know what, I'm not going to pray there, I'm going to pray at home by myself. That's splitting from the jama'ah. And this, you become the sheep that the wolf going to attack, which is the shaitan takes you easy. He drives you to extremes or he drives you to leave the deen. When you isolate yourself from the jama'at al-Muslimin, first, if you have different view from the jama'at al-Muslimin, it's going to turn to an extreme. There's no, until some brothers we've seen him, they kafar everyone. And they called all the masjid masajid dirar. Yani, you know masajid dirar? Yani, should burn down and get with them. Sah? And they left by themselves. And then they become so extreme that everyone to them, yani, all he does is listen to YouTube lectures. It leads you to leave the deen. Why? Because slowly you're away from the deen. The shaitan keeps playing your head. If he can't take you to the bid'ah of extremism, he'll take you to another matter, which is to leave the deen altogether. slowly. You get rid of your bead, you get rid of this, you get rid of that, you get rid of that, and start slowly going back to your old ways and to the haram, because no one's watching you. But if you're with the jama'ah, at least a brother Abdullah calls you, hey, where are you, man? I have to see you for Isha, I have to see you for Fajr. You meet and so on and so forth. So it's very important to stick to jama'at al-Muslimin, wherever you are. And here it doesn't mean, for example, if you live in Lakemba, the masajid in Lakemba there. Any masajid you're happy with, alhamdulillah. You disagree with the masjid, you go to another masjid, because there are few. Araf, in Campbelltown, there is a musalla there, that's the jama'ah there. You go and pray there, you start, even if you disagree with them. Araf, they salafiyah and you a little bit mutasawwif, you go pray with them. As long as you don't leave, jama'at al-Muslimin. Same thing, you Liverpool, there are a couple of places, al-Muhim, you don't leave jama'at al-Muslimin, you stick with jama'at al-Muslimin. Why? Because otherwise you become isolated and easy, pray for the wolf to take you, for the shaitan to take you. You either become too extreme or you leave the deen. Jama'at al-Muslimin keeps you in check. He said, وَإِنَّمَا تَكْرَهُونَ, listen to what Ibn Mas'ud said. Ma'alishi, let us extend with this. He said, وَإِنَّمَا تَكْرَهُونَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ وَالطَّاعَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفِرْقَةِ. He said, as what you dislike in a jama'ah, يعني I come to the masjid, the sheikh seems, he doesn't smile, doesn't shake my hand, like some brothers, they get upset. And some brothers, oh, the sheikh is this, or I don't like the brothers there, they talk too much, all this. He said, what you dislike, better than being by yourself. Even if you come to the mosque and there are people do your head in, better than being by yourself. Subhanallah, the hikmah. Ibn Mas'ud, as the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah, the closest wording to the wording of the Prophet ﷺ are the wording of Ibn Mas'ud. As if you're listening to a hadith. That's how good he was, how wise he was, and radiallahu anhu wa arda, how eloquent he was. He said, وَإِنَّمَا تَكْرَهُونَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ وَالطَّاعَةِ and the obedience. Here he's talking about being part of a political jama'ah when the Amir gives you an order. He said, خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفِرْقَةِ, better than what you like in splitting and being by yourself. وَقَالَ مُجَاهَدْ وَعَطَى, from the student of the Sahaba, بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ, with the ahd of Allah. The ahd of Allah meaning the covenant that you gave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some Ibn Mas'ud also narration عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا القرآن هو حبل الله والنور المبين. Indeed, the Quran is the rope of Allah and the clear light. So that's another interpretation. وقال مقاتل, another تابعي, بأمر الله وطاعته. Hablullah is to hold on to the orders of Allah and His obedience. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا كَمَا تَفَرَّقَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى وَالنَّصَارَى. He said, and do not separate as the Yahud and the Nasara separated. Al-Muhim. Here he mentions author hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَسْخَطُ لَكُمْ ثلاث. Allah likes for you three and He despises from you three. يَرْضَى لَكُمْ, He's pleased for you to worship none but Him and to associate nothing with Him. We spoke about that. وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. We spoke about that. وَأَن تَنَاصَحُوا مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ, and to give advice to whomsoever Allah gave him authority over you. يعني to the mashayikh, to the ulama, to the leaders, anyone, to give them nasiha when you see they are doing something wrong. To grab him from his hand, said, Ya shaykh, ya leader, ya someone, can I talk to you for a minute? Wallahi, this, and my nasiha to you is this. Now, this is Allah pleased from that. Wa yaskhat, and Allah despises from you, qila wa qal. Sit down and call you. Oh, do you hear what this guy said? Qila wa qal. وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and to waste your money. وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ, and to ask so many questions unnecessarily. And some brothers they go read something and they come, so they show they know. They ask questions that it's so controversial. Or bringing up some old sect that is finished. Or what's the qawl of Mu'tazila in this? Look at the brother. You know why he's asking. He wants to show his groupie that he knows what he's going to sit down and talk to the Shaykh about the Mu'tazila. Habibi ma waqfi Mu'tazila. What are you asking about Mu'tazila? كيل وقال وكثرة السؤال خلاص الحمد لله قال صاحب المنازل نعم الاعتصام بحبل الله هو المحافظة على طاعته مراقبا لأمره oh, pay attention. He said defining الاعتصام according to الإمام الهروي رحمه الله he summed everything in few words all this hadith he gave you a little capsule رحمه الله he said الاعتصام بحبل الله هو المحافظة على طاعته. To adhere to his obedience. مراقبا لأمره. Watchful of his orders. سبحانه وتعالى. He said, ابن القيم قال طلق بن حبيب. طلق بن حبيب, he is from the ulama of Zuhud. في التقوى. He is defining تقوى. نعم. Why? Because really, المراقبة لأمر الله is what? Is taqwa. Taqwa is to watch the orders of Allah. Am I obeying everything? He said, هي العمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله. Listen to this beautiful word. He said, it is to act upon the obedience of Allah, to apply the obedience of Allah upon a light from Allah. ترجو ثواب الله. Hoping for the reward of Allah. What is it here? Al-amal, hiya al-amal bita'atillah. To act upon the obedience of Allah, upon a light that comes to you from Allah. What is the light that comes from Allah? Al-Quran wa sunnah. Al-Quran wa sunnah. So you act upon what Allah told you in adherence to the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet. That's how simple is taqwa. ترجو ثواب الله. What you hope for ثواب الله. Meaning you don't do the action and you think you're guaranteed Jannah because you just done the action. Fahimt? Nor you abandon the action and hope you're going to paradise. That's wish. So you do the action upon a light from Allah and then hoping for the reward from Allah. وترك معصية الله على نور من الله. And you abandon and forsake the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah. Yani what Allah said haram is haram. What Allah said is makruh, I abandon it. He said, تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ fearing that Allah will punish you. How simple are these words. بس هذه هي التقوى. So if somebody asks you, what is taqwa? You say, taqwa ya habibi. Look how much you hear khutab about taqwa. Taqwa ya habibi, very simple. To apply the orders of Allah upon knowledge from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hoping the reward of Allah. Underline that word. And the second principle, to forsake the disobedience of Allah upon knowledge that comes from Allah and His Messenger, fearing the punishment of Allah, not fearing the people. Yani, I do what I do not because of you, but because of you. I do what I do is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَأَمَّا الْاِعْتِصَامُ بِهِ فَهُوَ التَّوَكُّلُ عَلَيْهِ It is to rely upon Allah. He said, وَأَمَّا صَاحِبُ الْمَنَازِلِ فَقَالْ Another definition for صاحب المنازل. الْاِعْتِصَامُ بِاللَّهِ also التَّرَقِّي عَنْ كُلِّ مَوْهُومِ That's the problematic expression. He said, التَّرَقِّي عَنْ كُلِّ مَوْهُومِ To rise above all the delusions. What does the word mawhum here means? Everything other than Allah is a delusion. There are two existences in this world. Allah exists eternal, real existence. And there is an existence that we live in which? Mortal. Which has an ending, has limits. That's why Sahib al-Manazil called it what? Delusion. Everything that exists in your life is delusion. Why? Because you will never take it with you. Anything you can't take with you to the grave is delusion. Bas. Whatever it is delusion. Here, Ibn al-Qayyim, and I don't want to elaborate on this too much. He said, but according to some extreme understanding of Sufiyya, which is Ahlu Wihdati al-Wujud, the one who believe in Al-Fana, where you dissolve in Allah, where there is nothing, you reach a level that you realize there is nothing exists except you and Allah, and you become part of Allah. Arafat? We spoke about this before. That's Al-Fana, where you dissolve and you mix with the real existence. Arafat? And that's, of course, I don't need to tell you how blasphemous is this ideology. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Here, Ibn al-Qayyim's word, he said, وَالْإِتِّحَادِ. يعني the person who believes in that, it's called إِتِّحَادِ. يُفَسِّرُهُ بِالصُّعُودِ عَنْ وُجُودِ مَا سِوَاهِ إِلَى وُجُودِ. He explained this, al-Ittihadi, he explained this point, as you rise from everything that is exist to the exist of Allah, the existence of Allah. يعني you rise from this dunya and you exist in the real existence, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why العياذ بالله dangerous. بحيث لا يرى لغيره وجودا البتة. Where you reach a level that you don't see anything exist except Allah. يعني everything that is around you is what? Answer me. Is Allah. عرفت? And that's the madhab of what? Al-Ittihadiyya. Al-Muhim. Some of the extreme Sufiyya who adopted the philosophical method of Tasawwuf, they believe that you keep worshipping Allah until you become Allah. You become part of Allah. Arafat? You unite with Allah. And then, because if we to think of this, us, what do we believe? There are, when you say the word existence, things that exist. Allah exists or not? We exist or not? The world exists or not? Our existence, is it going to end or not? Is the existence of Allah going to end or not? No. Huh? So since our existence is going to end, is it real or really delusion? Delusion. صح? And since His, capital H, existence, it's going to stay forever, that's the real existence. So far, so good. So far, you can interpret it as that you rise from the delusion to see that the ones who really exist and has power over everything is whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finished. And then everything that is delusion, you treat it as delusion. You only take from it what you need and you move on with life. But they take this meaning even further. That you rise from the delusion into the reality. And the reality is whom? Allah. Until you unite with the reality. And then once you unite with the reality, how do you unite? You don't get this feeling that you're united like the movies. No. You start to realize that everything that exists is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this world assimilates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they become one. But who realizes this truth? The one who has a high level of tasawwuf. According to this interpretation, and you can see how dangerous is this interpretation. Fahimna? I don't like to jump into those interpretations, but every now and then, just because these points are raised a lot of the times, and you can just, sometimes if you're listening to a lecture, you pick up on this, I don't think there are many lectures that will go into this stuff, or many. I haven't heard anything in English except one person who actually follows that thought. You know what I mean? That thought. And it's just, it's rare now. Allahu a'lam. That's, he said, قال رحمه الله يعني صاحب المنازل الهروي وهو على ثلاثة درجات. الاعتصام is three levels. He said, اعتصام العامة. Now we come to a point where they divide according to علماء التصوف. I'm not talking extreme tasawuf, just علماء التصوف in general. They divide people to three levels. We said this before, I repeat it again. عامة, layman. الخاصة, which is in the middle, specific, intermediate level. وخاصة الخاصة, the specific of the specifics. He said, as for the عامة, اعتصام العامة بالخبر استسلاما وإذعانا بتصديق الوعد والوعيد وتعظيم الأمر والنهي وتأسيس المعاملة على اليقين والإنصاف. What does it mean? It means here, he said, العامة, the general layman, والله, if we can get that, it will be excellent. الاعتصام العامة بالخبر. To hold on and adhere, يعني العامة like us, hold on and adhere, الخبر meaning the revelation, القرآن والسنة. استسلاما وإذعانا, you submit to it and you surrender to it. يعني without question asked, خلاص. سمعنا وأطعنا, that's what he means. You hold on to the خبر, سمعنا وأطعنا. بتصديق الوعد والوعيد. Why you do that? Because you believe in the promise, which is Jannah, and the threat, which is Jahannam. وتعظيم الأمر والنهي, and you glorify the orders and the prohibitions. وتأسيس المعاملة على اليقين, and the way you treat Allah and you treat the Quran and Sunnah and الوعد والوعيد, the fundamental principle, the main pillar, is what? Al-yaqin, certainty, and insaf, justice. Here he mentions al-yaqin, and he mentions a poem, and a lot of people use it, unfortunately, to debate, but it is the wrong approach. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, so the relationship, the most important point here, because everything else, it's easy to understand, al-yaqin. And what does it mean, al-yaqin? Here, he explains it with what opposes it. So the point is clarified. He said, كما قال القائل, as one of the poets said, زعم المنجب والطبيب كلاهما لا تبعث الأجساد قلت إليكما. In a poem he said, the المنجم, the astrologist, and this is going back to the medieval ages, at the time of Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah, the 700-800 Hijri, صح, where there was a lot of astrologists. والطبيب, and here the طبيب, back then the doctors used to mix what? Alchemy with chemistry, medicine with myth. And a lot of the tib was highly influenced by philosophy, not influenced by laboratories as today. Today everything is tested in the lab. 1 + 1 = 2. You put this drop over this drop, it kills the cancer. That's it. That's the tib today, which is, what do they call it? Scientific experiments. Back then, a lot of it used to be based on philosophy. لا تبعث الأجساد. الطبيب, that also they allude to Avicenna, that the bodies don't get the resurrected from the grave, because they could not logically say, how can the body be resurrected? The soul get resurrected. And that's extreme bid'ah in aqidah. To believe that the body does not resurrect on the day of judgment, that is extreme innovation. Body and soul are resurrected on the day of judgment. There's an enormous amount of adillah. He said, إليكما إن صح قولكما. The poet said, for you, if what you're saying is correct, فلست بخاسر. I'm not a loser. If you what you're saying is correct, I'm not a loser. Or أو صح قولي, or what I'm saying is correct, فالخسار عليكما. You both are losers. So what he's saying to them, he's saying, what is the preventative measure? Is for you to follow me, because if you're wrong, you're going to be a loser. And if I'm right, if you're wrong and I'm right, you're going to be a loser. And if you're right and I'm wrong, I've got nothing to lose. I'm still going. My soul going to be resurrected, not the body. So I've got nothing to lose. He said here, Ibn al-Qayyim, this is wrong mentality to approach this. Why? Because this is you putting doubt. While you're supposed to have yaqeen and say, this is wrong and I am certain body and soul will be resurrected. There's no other option. Of course, tashkik, doubtful thinking, there is schools of philosophy based on it. No time to go through it. Schools based on this. Of philosophical from West and from East. Yani from West, modern and past philosophers spoke about. Like the principle that says, I think, therefore I exist. Is that how you say it in English? I think, therefore I exist. That means what? I mean, you doubted your existence, and because of thinking, now you know you exist. And that is wrong. You exist. It's all dream. It's all, you find it. Yani, what did you come up with? You exist. And we know you exist. Yani, well, صح في كل واد يهيم. نعم. المهم استعان. هذه طريقة أهل الريب والشك. المهم. He said, as for being just, we spoke about yaqeen, being just, he said, فَهُوَ الْإِنصَافُ فِي مُعَامَلَتِهِمْ لِلَّهِ. It is to be just in your treatment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني you treat Allah with justice. وَلِخَلْقِهِ, and to His creation. How do you treat Allah with justice? Is to give Him what He deserves from ibadah. You can never give Him what He deserves, that you do to the best of your ability. And الخلق is to be just with the people, to treat them with justice. He said, from the insaf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, and to worship Him, and you give the ibadah, the worship, it's right. وَأَنْ لَا يُنَازِعَ رَبَّهُ صِفَاتَ إِلَهِيَّتِهِ. And you do not try to become contentious with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in taking from Him His عبودية. How is that? How can a person try to take away صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى? Very simple. When you start claiming that, you are the best person and your word is the ultimate word. That's niza' with Allah. When you say, my word is the last word, خلاص, no argument. لا يبدل. He's exactly said like the one who said لا يبدل قوله لدي. He made himself Allah. Who's the only one who has the right to say that? Allah. لا يبدل القول لدي. Allah says that the word is does not. My word is final. Does not change. So when the person says my word is final, does not change. Now be careful. A lot of people say this, but you give him heck soft cold water nasiha. This is the Allah has the final word. You, no one has the final word on this earth. Subhanallah. A person who, for example, orders to expect from people absolute obedience. صح? That is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the haqq of al-ibad. And so on. وَمِنْ إِنصَافِهِ لِرَبِّهِ. And also from the insaf to Allah, أن لا يشكر سواه على نعمة وينساه ولا يستعين بها على معاصي. You do not thank Allah, thank other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you forget Allah about a blessing that is given. The justice, ikhwani, is, let's just say somebody gave you a job or gave you wealth or gave you money. You thank the people, but you thank Allah also, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He is the one who gave you ni'mah, which is from the ni'mah directly, you were sick and you got better, or you realized you have a ni'mah, or the tawbah, or anything, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave you money, you became wealthy. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said something important. And you do not use this ni'mah for the disobedience of Allah. Allah gave you money, don't go buy it with a haram. Because that's what? From the insaf to your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he mentions بعد الآثار. Of course, in their authenticity, there is a question mark. He said, إني والجن والإنس في نبأ عظيم. Allah says, me and the jinn and the humans in a great affair. What is this affair? أخلق ويعبد غيري. I create and somebody else get worshipped. SubhanAllah, very simple. وأرزق ويشكر غيري. And I sustain and somebody else get thanked for my rizq. SubhanAllah. How simple is this? But how hard to understand, he said. Or to apply, to say. And another author, he said, يبنى آدم. O son of Adam, ما أنصفتني. You are not fair in your dealing with me. خيري إليك نازل. My خير, my goodness, it's coming down from me to you in abundance. وشرك إلي صاعد. And your evil comes up to me. And I send you good and I receive evil from you. أتحبب إليك بالنعم وأنا عنك غني. I'd like to bring you soft and bring your heart soft towards me to love me, but in reality I don't need you. Exactly like the father who gives his disobedient son an advice. Ya Abi Fahm, Ya Habibi Fahm, Ya Umri Fahm, Akhi Habibi, I give you a bed, I give you a room, I give you money, I give you food. The fridge is full of fruits and everything you want, you get. You want 20 bucks, I give you 30. You want pants, I'll buy you two. I drop you off to school, I pick you up from school. My heart is for you, everything for you. Just listen. Listen to me. You don't know nothing, Bobo. How frustrated the father gets. Just subhanAllah. And believe it or not, if you've done this to your father, get ready, your son is going to do it for you. There's no negotiation about it. Wallah, bas ya shaykh, I repented. You still have to feel that bitterness. That's it. You are going to feel it. No matter what, Allah is going to send you a son who's going to make you taste it. That's it. Don't argue with it. So just get ready psychologically. That's what you're going to face. And you go complaining to your father, was I like this? Your son is an angel compared to your Habibi. No. Al-Muhim. وَتَتَبَغَّضُ إِلَيَّ بِالْمَعَاصِ وَأَنْتَ فَقِيرٌ إِلَيَّ. And you disobey me and you turn your disobedience to me. And you are the one who needs me. I don't need you. He said, نعم. وَأَنَا عَنْكَ غَنِي. وَلَا يَزَالُ الْمَلِكُ الْكَرِيمُ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيَّ مِنْكَ بِعَمَلٍ قَبِيحٍ. And continuously the good, clean, honorable angels come up to me with your evil deeds. They're coming up, ya Allah, with books of evil deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, وَأَمَّا الْإِنصَافُ فِي حَقِّ الْعَبِيدِ. As for the insaf and the justice in the haqq of the slaves, فَأَنْ يُعَامِلَهُمْ بِمِثْلِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعَامِلُهُ بِهِ. يعني, to treat the people as you like to be treated. Allah is simple. And here, al-abid, al-abid me in a general meaning, not in a specific meaning. لأنه عباد الله المسلم أن كافر is عبيد الله. صح؟ مسلم أن كافر is عبيد الله. صح؟ طيب. There are specific عبيد الله هو مؤمنين. But when the علماء say al-abid, يعني everyone that is clear. يعني you treat people as you like, as you don't like to people to steal from you, cheat you, take your money, lie to you, all of this, then don't do it to others. Very simple. Treat the people as you like to be treated. Now, he said, وَلَعَمْرُ اللَّهِ. يعني he's taken an oath, Shaykh ibn al-Qayyim. هَذَا الَّذِي ذُكِرَ أَنَّهُ اعْتِصَامُ الْعَامَّةِ. Pay attention. Because this is important. This is what the Al-Harawi mentioned, that it is i'tisam of the general public, Al-Amma, هو اعتصامه, أو better word, the layman, هو اعتصامه خاصة الخاصة. In reality, this is the اعتصام of the specific of the specific. Because that's what رسالة الإسلام is about. If you can do this, حبيبي, if you can do this to the T, to its max, then you become like الصديقين. يعني he said, وهو اعتصام خاصة الخاصة. This is in reality اعتصام which is going to come. ولكن الشيخ, شوف الأدب. Because what going to come, which is we leave it till next week, مصائب. You're going need, يعني سبحان الله, all about فناء and so on and so forth. So the Shaykh is preparing you mentally, and he is in advance apologizing for the Shaykh in a very eloquent manner with respect. He said, ولكن الشيخ, nevertheless the Shaykh, ممن رفع له علم الفناء, the Shaykh, the science of فناء, not in the extreme meaning of the philosophers, Sufiya, remember, not in that extreme meaning. He said, فَشَمَّرَ إِلَيْهِ, يعني this specific knowledge of فَنَاء, it came to him. So he can delve in abstracts of meanings. I don't know if I'm using the right words. The slightest of meanings, he can understand it from a mountain of ilm. He said, فَشَمَّرَ إِلَيْهِ. So he pulled his sleeves and he jumped into that sea of ilm. فَلَا تَأْخُذُهُ فِيهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. So no one should blame him. No one from the blamers should blame him. And he don't blame him, because he entered the realm of understanding that most of us haven't entered. These are the word of whom? نَلْقَيِّمْ. The words of whom, ya shabab? That every hardcore Salafi drops his name. Look the rahmah, look the way he treated the ulama and the mashayikh. Ya Allah. Shuf. He said, فَلَا تَأْخُذُهُ فِيهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ وَلَا يَرَى مَقَامًا أَجَلَّ مِنُهُ. And he can't see maqam, a station higher than this. Yani according to the shaykh, he saw a field of knowledge in this abstract of meanings. And this, what we see as something minute, but he was able to derive so much from it. I see that no one can easily jump in. He pulled his sleeves and he didn't get scared and he jumped in it. So, if you see things that you don't comprehend, don't blame him too much. صح? Don't blame him too much. And try to find an excuse for the Shaykh. عرفت? Because he cannot see higher than this station. Yani he saw that this is, yani al-Harawi, so this is the aim. If you can get to that station and you become like that, not the station that you dissolve with Allah, as we explained, no. But if you become like that, you are going to be one of the successfuls. I don't want to push it too much, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.